Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 1:02 p.m. That is Pacific Standard Time. Today is November 5th. Gold today was down about $25, and I thought it would be interesting, or at least relevant, to put up the weekly chart because we get a very clear view of the base formation, the impressive breakout, and also that this consolidation, which has been underway for about 2 months, has been very orderly. Now, generally, when we see these kinds of very orderly consolidations following a breakout and a wide overextension relative to the trend mean, well, they allow at least a partial unwinding of that overbought condition. But the other point is that ranges are boring relative to the trending phases. People tend to lose patience. They don't like to experience profit erosion. And therefore, when you see a day like today, then it does increase the potential that the process of mean reversion may pick up pace. And that then shakes out some of the weaker holders. It can lead to a bigger decline, and that would very quickly unwind the overextension relative to the trend mean. Then the big question is whether we're going to see support being found in the region of the upper side of this base formation, which is arguably somewhere between about $1,380 and $1,350. That would probably be the dream buying range for a lot of gold bulls. But of course, it would also be a level where a lot of people would start to be questioning the integrity of the new bull market. This is something that is obviously a potential outcome. We could yet see gold popping back on the upside tomorrow. There is obviously one of the reasons why gold was breaking on the upside was because of a lot of fear about the trade war between the USA and China, the Brexit saga and the UK's exit from the EU, the trade war between Japan and South Korea. But I think the much more important points are, and of course all three of those do appear now to be improving, and that is removing a risk premium from the market. And we can certainly see that in a number of the stock market charts, which I'll put up in a moment. When, however, we look at gold and the medium-term outlook, I think it is relevant to remember that when we think about what is it that governments are doing, what is it that economies are doing, well, we have very clearly got a policy emerging of synchronized global fiscal expansion, and that is coming hot on the heels of synchronized global monetary expansion. The USA did try to contain some of the monetary stimulus when the fiscal stimulus picked up. Well, they've given up on that. So now we have trillion-dollar deficits against a background where they are cutting interest rates and increasing the size of the balance sheet at the same time. And that's at a time when we have record low unemployment. This is a recipe for a bubble, and that's really quite likely. Then, of course, when we look at all the elections that are shaping up around the world, then it is increasingly popular to have a very clear fiscal stimulus plan. That's certainly the case in the UK. Both parties have signed up for rather significant fiscal stimulus. It's also really quite likely in the US election next year, and we're already seeing very significant fiscal stimulus to prime the pump ahead of that election, but this is a global phenomenon. Well, when we start to think about this cooperation between governments and the monetary authorities, well, that is basically one of the things that is part and parcel of modern monetary theory. I don't believe there's much point in really rebelling against the sense of it. It looks increasingly likely, whether we see left-leaning or right-leaning governments, the likelihood is we're going to see fiscal stimulus. And That is obviously inflationary, but more importantly, it's the kind of thing that devalues currency. And having some form of asset that can hold its value against that massive increase in the monetary base, well, gold obviously fulfills that requirement. What I do find particularly interesting is the synchronicity that we have with the bull market that is just beginning in the gold price, and what we saw in the initial phase of the big move that we had in the late 1990s through to the breakout in 2002. On that occasion, we did not get a ranging phase. It came straight back down and tested, and in fact pulled back into very mildly into the underlying base formation. It was after that the really impressive portion of the advance started to emerge. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if we get a similar condition on this particular occasion. What is also really worth highlighting is the fact that you had a big move in 2000 and or in 1999. We had the breakout to new highs in 2002. We had the big move in this move. It was in 2016. We've had a breakout in 2019, so about a 2.5 year difference. And the size of the advance once we had the breakout is almost identical on both occasions. So there is certainly a temptation to think that that history is rhyming here. It's not going to certainly it's we're not going to have a repeat of history, but some of the conditions in the macro sense are really quite similar. The outlook back in the early 2000s was that we were going to have a set of policies to devalue fiat currencies, and that is exactly what we are seeing today. Well, the other asset, of course, that does tend to do well in that kind of environment is the stock market. And when we look at, for example, the Nasdaq, it is pushing on to new all-time highs and pulling away from the 8,000 level and extending the breakout. The Philadelphia Semiconductors Index has been leading on the upside all along, and it was not quite able to hold all of its move in here today, and it is really quite overextended in the short term, but this is still a very clear bullish environment. Now, when we look at, for example, the Russell 2000, that has been lagging for a really quite pronounced period of time, but even here we have now finally seen that the succession of lower rally highs has been broken, and it is now right in the region of 1600 points. Well, if it can sustain a move above 1600 points, then that is going to be very welcome news indeed, and it would suggest that we're back in a demand-dominated environment beyond this ranging that has taken place just about all of this year. What's, I think, supportive of the view that we are back in a liquidity-rich environment has been the outperformance of the banking sector and this very clear breakout over the course of the last 2 weeks, in fact 3 weeks now, is really quite impressive. Then when we think about what's going on in Europe, well, the DAX index has been doing tolerably well and has broken up and out of this range and looks quite capable of pushing on to test or exceed those highs. The MIB index in Italy is coming up to test the upper side of what is effectively a decade-long base formation, and that is looking quite supportive as well. When we think about France, then it is one of the few markets in the region that has been pushing on to new highs for the decade over just the last couple of weeks. And then we have the Europe Stoxx 600, which is not just a Eurozone index, and it is now clearing the 400 point level. And I think this is really quite important. We've had incredibly prolonged ranging phases on a significant number of major stock market indices over the course of what is now decades. And we're just starting to see breakouts on the upside. This is particularly true in Europe. It's already been true in the UK for quite some time. The FTSE 100 has been leading on the upside, and it broke out in 2016, and this continues to look like a first step above that base formation. It's also, and we really do have to look at an awful lot of back history to see this, but it's quite clear that there is also a first step above the base in Taiwan, and the market has just broken out of that first step above the base. So this is confirmatory of a return to medium-term demand dominance and the beginning of a new bull market. And a bull market that could potentially be rather lengthy. Then the Japanese index, or the Nikkei, has continued to stabilize above 20,000, and this also looks like a first step above the base. It was up 400 points in here today. It's continuing to rebound from the 20,000 level, and this really does look really quite bullish. So we are seeing peace break out left and right, and that is also taking a toll on bond markets. And the 10-year yield is now back at the 1.85% level. Now, we have got two higher reaction lows in terms of this consolidation. Well, in fact, I think the more correct way to say it's a distribution. And there is clear resistance among bond investors to accept a yield less than 1.5%. The size of the upper dynamics on that weekly chart absolutely stand out. Anyone who knows anything about chart reading and nothing about the bond market would say, well, golly, this something really important happened when it got back down to test that 1.5% level. And I think that is the clearest conclusion that we can draw from just simply looking at the price action. It greatly enhances the potential that we are going to, that we've seen a medium-term low in terms of yields. It's already a short-term low, and if that's the case, then there is the real potential we're going to see yields push back up towards that 3% region. Now, when we start to think about what can we anticipate, well, we know that the S&P 500 in particular has been ranging for about a year and a half, maybe a little bit more than that, and has now broken upwards. This is the third time it has done that in the last decade. Each of those very volatile ranges over the course of the last 10 years has given way to an incredibly persistent and consistent advance that has also lasted approximately 18 months. Well, what that is suggesting is that we could see the market rally all the way through into the latter half of next year. And of course, we know that the US presidential election is exactly 1 year from now. I think it's also quite relevant to talk about the US presidential cycle in that context. Generally speaking, we do get a growth scare in the third year. We get a wobble, and then the third year generally delivers a strong performance in the latter half of the year, and that the fourth year on aggregate is the most rewarding of the 4 years within the presidential cycle. Well, that holds out the very real potential that we're going to get a very significant breakout from these very lengthy trading ranges that have been evident on a considerable number of global markets. Now, when we then think about China, well, the Chinese economy has been under a great deal of stress as a result of the trade war, and an easing of trade frictions would certainly be welcomed. The renminbi has been strengthening over the course of the last while, and it was very briefly trading below or stronger than 7 in here today. Now, I do think that 7 is a rather important Rubicon for sentiment towards the renminbi. I think it's unlikely we're going to see it trading below that level. When we think about currencies, well, the dollar index was up in really quite impressive bullish territory again in here today. This is confirming at least near-term support in the region of the trend mean. It also confirms the sequence of higher reaction lows that's been forming over the course of the last 18 months, and that this uptrend is still intact. As long as that remains the case, then that is going to continue to bolster demand for US-denominated assets. Then I think it's rather important to keep an eye on the oil price. And there has been an upward bias to trading since the beginning of October. We've had some dynamic moves in the last 3 days. There has been a downward bias overall over the last 7 or 8 months. When we then zoom out and look at the weekly chart, the clear conclusion is that we're in a ranging phase, but that there's certainly some support coming through around $60. Now, I think it's also worth remembering that Saudi Aramco is a lot of the valuation metrics that are being used to justify the valuation of the company are predicated on oil prices being above $60. Well, lo and behold, oil prices are back above $60. There is obviously a potential that there is some manipulation of the market going on right now. Now the bigger question is, what will be the valuation of the company when it does list? One thing that we often see at the an important late cycle signal is the IPO of some very large companies. Well, there is no larger company than Saudi Aramco. So that obviously and has to be monitored. And also, of course, we need to pay attention to what kind of effect that has on stock markets. So there is a risk there that the valuation they're trying to achieve, which is somewhere around the $1.5 to $1.6 trillion level, well, they're IPOing 5% of the company. So then the hit to, or the sponge effect that's going to suck liquidity out of other assets is probably somewhere in the region of about $75 billion. That is roughly equivalent to a really rather significant member of the S&P 500 hitting the Saudi Arabian stock market. Well, we have certainly seen some selling pressure taking place in the Saudi Arabian market in anticipation of this IPO, that people are obviously raising cash because they are going to be compelled to buy the IPO of Saudi Aramco. When we then think about where are we in terms of the cycle, well, we've had an inverted yield curve. That's generally a signal that we are late in the cycle. But it's also worth remembering that in the last time we had an inverted yield curve, the market went up 30% before there was a recession. The time before that, in 1998, the market went up 50% after the inversion, and the market has just broken out to new highs. Well, what that suggests is we are in for a period of really quite profound appreciation in stock markets before we get the next recession, and I think that has to be the base case. It's also, I think, one of the reasons why I think there is risk of mean reversion in gold prices, but that we are in a new bull market, that it is a safe haven asset. It is something that can be viewed as an insurance policy. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.